We end that session, and we're going to go now into internal the question, which is, I think, from some people and concerning to the position on bylaws. So and Andy was which was one of the person who introduced this, and since we have a vote, a straw vote that we took, I think 2 weeks ago. So basically on that, and the idea of it is to make sure that the people understand what were that they were voting on. So with that in mind, I don't know if there's any questions that we can start this discussion. Is the people clear on that?
Yeah.
What the concern of that is? Okay. So so we're going to just take in question. We're going to try to keep this really short.
Can I make a point of information?
Yeah.
The bylaw subcommittee also voted in the last meeting that that this meeting, before any straw poll votes were taken at all, that we implore the local advisory board to explain their positions, their votes and their positions. And that was who was at that bylaw meeting? The bylaw subcommittee.
Okay.
And so we would like to hear
that's a huge
the
majority.
Lab's reasoning for their votes. For what they're going to vote for.
Okay,
that was a
I
vote.
Guess that's part of the thing. I mean, people can do two things. People can
don't need to explain that. Or people should explain. I don't want to be the first one, but if I had to, I would go. Why I vote? Why I vote? I got no problem with that. Is anybody on that? Errol?
Excuse me. Wait.
One second. And channel the last vote that was taken here by the lab. Yes.
Sure.
Okay.
Is ready to start.
One second. Just no. Let us.
It's not about the issue.
Yeah, but we are.
Well, you don't know what I'm going to say.
No, I don't, and that's why I don't want you to say it.
I'm not going to interrupt you again.
That's why I don't want to.
I don't know anybody's name. When the person gets up, I want to hear the names. I don't know how many. I don't know how many lab members there are.
Okay, you got me. You got me. Okay. Okay. Hey.
Is there a list?
Okay. No. You're right. You're right.
We're trying to keep track.
Give that man the sheet.
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Cool.
Lots of meetings. I never get a list.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. My name is Miguel Maldonado. I'm the chairperson.
I'm sorry.
So, and can we just start from there?
No problem.
No,
Errol wanted to start.
Errol.
And I'll be left
going.
No, just to introduce himself, because this just to introduce
yes.
This
is terrible. No, but he asked for more than that. We got
No.
I'll listen to you.
Just the name.
I got you here.
My name is Errol Nagman, I think. I said I think because I am the descendant of Africans, dragged here in chains, stolen from Africa, devoid of my identity and who I am, subjected to a land that has continued to oppress. And that oppression is reflected in almost everything that we do. W.B. Du Bois said the problem of the 21st century was going to be the color line. The 20th century is going to be the color line. It is still informs our life today. It is still the thing that rules the United States and the entire world. White supremacy is alive, and it is well. And it will take some conscious effort to change that. Racism is so inculcated in our culture, so ingrained in our lives, that many of us who are black still suffer from that disease. We have become sometimes our own worst enemy. Pacifica as a radio network put itself on a mission to deal with conflict, to deal with racism, xenophobia, and all the other ills that have plagued the world. Pacifica, through, I believe, some enlightened development and enlightened leadership over the years, have been ahead of this country in dealing with some of the issues around race. Pacifica, the listenership, reflects the society in which we live. However, the leadership of Pacifica have placed itself, I believe, through some level of introspection, out front in the vanguard. Pacifica, as an institution, several years ago decided that it would create local advisory boards that would be diverse. 50% of that board will be women, 50% people of color. Pacifica, as a network, developed the concept of listener-sponsored radio, the concept of a radio station that would be run by professionals who are journalists, writers, artists, and that is now broadened out to include plain community folks who have the opportunity to speak up and to influence the society and to be a part of the media. If I'm explaining my vote, and I think I'm sure I'll be taking less time than you. And in the fight to restructure, in the effort to regain control of the network, by the way, I'm one of those individuals who was a plaintiff in the lawsuit. I am probably the only one out here who put my job, my livelihood on the line to be a part of that lawsuit.
I was on the lawsuit too.
I am employed by Pacifica, and I'm still employed by Pacifica. And I don't want to be a part of an organization that does not continue. And this time when we're revisiting Baki, when we are revisiting this most conservative, reactionary Confederate period in our history, revert back to an organization where we will find that white people, good, bad, or indifferent, because of their activism, because of their economics, because of whatever numerical number in this society feels, that they can represent all interests, that they can think for and dictate and make policy and decisions without including the entire community. That is why I support the constituency model, and I know it has flaw. I also believe that no models or bylaws that we have developed is going to keep Pacifica safe, except save for the actions that you, the listeners, some of you who I can't stand, took to regain the network. So while I have differences with you, in the final analysis, it's not going to be the bylaws that's going to determine whether or not we succeed. But it is a step, and I would like to see that progressive tradition continues. And that's why I will continue to push the constituency model, because it comes the closest, I believe, to continuing the selection process, which was a part of the board in the past.
All right. Thank you, Al. What we're going to do before...
I'd like to go next, because I may be leaving.
Okay, can you wave you?
Yeah.
But what we're going to do, just in terms of the time, because I think that we should establish a time here. Is everybody going to explain their position? But we should give, like, right, okay, so what about
3 minutes?
Because I think that's very short. I mean, I don't know, Ann Emmerman.
Let me get started. I'm Ann Emmerman, and I've been a board member for the last 6 years. I was also a member of the LAB lawsuit. I'm in favor of the constituency model. As Gail very well put it very well, we want a seat at the table for the various constituency groups that represent New York City, and that would include the geographical representation that the LAB felt was very important. I'm also interested in developing within constituency groups leaders within those communities and even journalists, mainly younger people. If you look at the age level here on the board, we would like to develop within constituency group young people who will one day become models. Now, I've heard it said that there are subgroups within ethnic groups. There are different groups within the Latino community, within the Asian community. I can also say there are subgroups within the disability community. Some of us are physically disabled, some are blind, some are deaf, some are survivors of mental illness or have disability, developmental disabilities. I wouldn't care, and neither does the community care, what disability represents the disability community. We are all been victims of discrimination. In fact, the communities of people with disabilities was the last group that got their civil rights. And God forbid we may be the first to lose them. And that's the issue here, folks. So I'm very, very much in favor of having a seat at the table for all of the constituency groups that represent New York City. And that is my choice, the constituency model.
Okay, Mimi. We're trying to give 3 minutes because...
I'll do my best.
Try hard.
I won't have it uppermost in my mind, but I will try. My name is Mimi Rosenberg. I'm one of the people who I can say with pride who worked on, with a collective of people, the evolution of what I still think should be called the model of inclusion. And it was an affirmative approach, and it was an approach that was based on the issues of race and class. And it's the only thing, as far as I'm concerned, that kind of interest and sensitivity that ultimately should be a point of distinction or is a point of distinction in the evolution of this particular form of media within the context of radio as it developed. And what I just came from court, and one of my many clients was evicted for $45.23 after 20 years. People don't seem to get it. They don't seem to get it. She then couldn't get to my office because she didn't have a Metro card. People's unemployment is running out. People are on fixed incomes, lots of them. They do not have money for car fare. When they go to a clinic, they pick up a Metro card to get back. That is the reality of the impoverished groups of people who are defined first and foremost in this city by color. That's a reality. When people talk about as a gatekeeper that it's only $5 or $10, this is a radio station. This isn't people's existence. When people talk about only a 3-hour work commitment, where's the daycare? Where are the people who work 2 and 3 jobs? Where are mothers who are being indicted because their kid died because they were taking amphetamines to stay up for the 3 jobs and the kid wound up consuming the breast milk and dying from an overdose, and you say it's only 3 hours, or the senior citizens. People make choices about their lives. Are they not listeners necessarily? Are they not people who care? But you're going to put material, monetary gatekeepers on people because it's only $5 or $10, or it's only 3 hours when people struggle to stay awake and a garment plant and bring homework home. We are not class conscious in the way we've been functioning. We do not understand and have not struggled with the conjuncture of race and class, and it's not about 50% women or 51% women or people of color. It's about representation in a holistic way of the collective history of liberatory struggle that people of color, that gays, that disabled people have brought to the table to enhance our collective democratic and human rights. So it's insufficient, and I'm just about finished, for a person of color to be there, or a woman, or a gay, lesbian, bisexual, trigendered person. What it isn't about at this point, and that's tragic, is people beholding to and representative of that history and that ongoing process, as I said, of liberatory struggle that changes the power paradigms of our society. And that's what protects this network, not shreds of papers. We've got constitutions. It doesn't protect us from oppression of a class nature or based on discrimination, which this country has as its Achilles heel. So again, I really plead with folks here to be exemplary, as many of us and most of this board has been, and to support conceptually and to come out with a policy manual as well to implement it, a model of inclusion that's representative of ideas that are ideologically based in class and race terms to transform the society and keep our station as an unencumbered voice for the change of the power paradigms and a shift to democracy and human rights and against war and oppression. And that's why I think it's strategic to have sculpted a model that doesn't pick up mechanical formulas and blithely cite Talani Guinier.
6 minutes.
But to tailor an affirmative approach that is inclusive of ideas that create liberation and social transformation.
Thank you.
Victoria, you want to come
No, I just tell people as they raise their hands, because there's some people there.
There you go.
That's me. Okay, anybody else? Marilyn, you want to go next? No, no.
Go ahead. Since you spoke up.
No, no, I just thought, well, as I got here late, I thought you were asking for
this thing. No, no, legally. We just asking the people to raise their hand and do it. Okay, you, nobody want to go?
Yeah, I'll go.
Okay,
I'll
Gail.
I'll go after
yeah.
Gail.
Okay.
Gail, go.
She's been saving me.
Okay. I am Gail Golden. And Anne already basically referenced my very strong feeling about this, that, you know, I have been watching elections in this country and in various organizations for a long time, and I'm always quite troubled by the usual outcome. My feeling is that if we want folks from various communities, from various specific communities, to have a place at the table, then we have to reserve a place for them at the table and invite communities to find ways to fill those places. Having a 50% diversity requirement will not ensure that a large variety of communities will be represented. So, I mean, that's really the core of my concern and the core of why I think the constituency model is a model that I would continue to support. I want to echo something that Mimi said, that I will never, never support the idea that people who do not have $25 or 3 hours to volunteer at the station have to petition the lab for a waiver. I think that's humiliating, and I think that it replicates the worst of what some of our institutions already do to poor people, which is make them beg and sit up and do tricks and justify why they want to have something that, you know, is hard for them to afford. So, you know, that piece of the membership idea just seems abhorrent to me. I'm done.
All right.
Madeline? No, Madeline.
Go ahead. Oh, go. We go down and come back. It doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Just go on, Madeline.
Madeline,
well,
no,
Anne said
that it was
Rashida.
No, it's not.
Go ahead,
Madeline.
Madeline,
it's your turn. Well, no, I mean, apparently, you know, I'm a minority voice here on the lab, and though I'm a minority voice here on the lab, I would hope that I would still be treated with respect and consideration, and not be considered an outcast, or not be considered someone who believes in diversity, who believes in looking at the world, that the world is divided according to classes, and who wants very much to see this radio station here, WBAI, and all the other Pacifica radio stations reflect that. I think some of the debates and discussions that have tried to make to try to characterize those who do not believe in the constituency model as somehow not being aware of and sensitive to issues of race and class are not accurate, not relevant, and not helpful. I think what we found at WBAI over the last number of months, when there was a coup that nearly succeeded, was that when there was a common enemy and a clearly defined target and a clearly defined focus, people from the variety of different communities put their racial identities, their sexual identities, their class identities, put them to the side and said, we are fighting corporations, we're fighting corporate takeover, and we are trying to reclaim the station for the voices, all the voices, and to be inclusive of all the voices. And that, let me say right up front, that I agree in all, I believe in all of those things, that whatever model we select here as a lab has to be one that's inclusive and has to be one, I think, that encourages the greatest number of people to vote. And I really resent people looking at me like somehow I have changed from being someone that you welcome onto this lab to somebody that you just want to shun. And I really resent that. I see no reason for it. I'm still the same person with the same beliefs. I firmly believe, and I hear everything that people are saying in relationship to the constituency model, and I agree with everything that's laid out in terms of what our goal should be. I just happen to believe that there are too many divisions in the constituency model, and that even though it is more inclusive in terms of it names certain communities, it does leave out other communities. And that once you start down the road of identifying community by community, you're going to, by necessity, leave some out. And so I think there's too many. I think it's too divided, that people who then have to select which constituency or other constituency they're going to vote in. I think it's too complicated. And I think people will stay home and not vote, which is just the opposite, I think, of what we want to encourage here as a station. And I don't agree with those who say, let's do the KPFA model without diversity requirements, without a 50% requirement for women or a 50% requirement for people of color. I think it absolutely must be done that way in order to have to deal with the issues that everyone else has addressed in terms of the constituency model. If it's not articulated and not put out there in front, it will never happen, and I agree with that. The KPFA model must go on with, okay, let me just, I think under both models we need to do outreach. I think that's key, because you're not going to get anywhere with either model without it. I also just want to say one more thing. I think the WBAI lab can be in the forefront, and in this respect, I would say that to be in the forefront, that we support the KPFA model with the diversity requirements and stick to that. I deeply respect every single one of you on the board for what you do, what you believe, and what you've promoted in the constituency model. I hope you afford me the same respect in return. Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Ness.
Point of order, Mr. Chair. Point of order. I think that, as everybody heard, nobody had any outbursts when the people who supported the constituency model spoke. We were very polite, and I would expect the same politeness to prevail
so that doesn't appear that the that the audience is becoming a factor in the decision making here of the lab. Excuse me. In terms of,
We got your point.
We have been, we are trying to be even-handed here in the way we approach this thing, and so I think that's, that would require
okay. Next.
Miguel.
Okay, we got you, okay.
Miguel. In order for this meeting to be, look.
Can we have some water?
Could we limit right now for the purpose of moving along, just comments to the board doing, you know, what we're doing so we can wrap this up?
Trying to keep it in 3 minutes, but nobody seems to follow that.
Have you spoken already?
I did.
Yeah, for a long time. For a long time. Okay, next. Can it just be, I mean, nobody want to go next?
Yes.
Okay, Rashida.
I'm sorry, your name is who?
Rashida Abu Bakr.
My name is Rashida. Rashida Ismaili Abu Bakr. It's on the list. Okay? And it's and I'm also on the program committee.
The first time I ever heard your name written.
Well, you have addressed me more.
Go ahead.
You got the list.
All right, Rashida.
May I speak?
I sure hope so.
I support the constituency model. I support inclusion. As an immigrant who is a naturalized citizen, as a Muslim who sacrificed going to prayers tonight during the month of Ramadan to come to this meeting. As a woman, as an activist, beyond what has been said of me, I have no problem with anybody researching my activism. I will match it with anyone. And it is because of that that I support the constituency model, because I know what it's like to be a representative which supports the proportional representation. It is precisely that, in proportion you represent. And you get invited on that basis. And you get the opportunity to say what the group says you should say, or what the position is. But you do not get the opportunity to write it and to have some input and decision in the making of policy. One of the things that I long cared for about BAI, long before I ever encountered any of you in this room, was on the one hand, I used to listen to some borderline, even going beyond border, racist talk in the morning from Larry Josephson and the three people. I think it was Steve Post was one of them, but I could be wrong. But anyway, they used to come in the morning. I listened to them, and there were many things that they said that really offended me as an African person. But then I would listen, and after they went off, somebody would talk about some issue that I didn't know, and I got information. Or I would hear something during the day that made up for that. But now it's 2002, and I don't think that the things that were allowed should go unspoken. I think that anybody has a right, for whatever their reasons, to their personal prejudices. But when you step over the line between your personal prejudices and you act out in a racial manner, and it doesn't always have to be black and white, but when it becomes a defining situation for someone else, that you set up a definition for someone else, rather than letting that person self-define. The height of political independence is to be self-defining For those of you who haven't had a colonial experience, you can't imagine what it means. That Africa went through a war of liberation all over the continent, having been destroyed by slavery, coming into colonialism, lasting for all these hundreds of years, and now having a piece of paper that says you're sovereign, and the same colonial powers can just march right back in and take your resources and to hell with you. This is what I think the constituency model and the model of inclusion works to correct. It allows somebody to politically self-define, and I think that people have that right to have that. I support the constituency model, and that is my position. I respect you for your differences, but I stand on my decision, and that is a right that I accede to myself. And a final thing. Again, we hear people talk about the divisions in the African communities because the Caribbeans this and the Spanish speaking that and the this that and the African born and the African Americans. Well, there are divisions in all things. This wide thing called whiteness, that is what racism has created. And within that whiteness, anybody who has one drop of suspect blood, usually colored blood, most often African, but Asian too, they are not considered white. Well, there are three groups of white people who just got made white in the 60s. And as black people got their heads beaten in. I got helped because of their struggle, and I respect them for that, and I don't think too many people remember that.
Right.
And so I think that when you say to a black person, and when you see some of the things that have been said, that this is racist and that black people are racist, I just cannot believe that the so-called left would say to a black person, a white person, who says he's progressive, meaning that they're struggling for their humanity, would say to a black person that you are a racist. Do you know what you're saying when you tell that to a person of color? I would ask you to think about that. You don't have to agree with the constituency model, but just think about what you're saying.
Great. Trying to keep it in 3 minutes. Okay, Lee. Okay. You got 3 minutes.
I'll try to be brief.
Name?
I support Lee.
He already said Lee.
Be chronic.
He said his name. What is his problem?
Let me say first that I have never believed that the group that attends meetings here nor the groups that attend the bylaws meeting are representative of the listeners of WBAI. For the last 6-7 years, I've been answering phones for every pledge drive. I've been talking to the people who are listening, and I know who those people are, and they're not here. They're in Bed-Stuy, they're in Harlem, they're all around the city, but I'm telling you where I hear the voices, and I don't see them in this room. I see a few, but not many. So I don't consider that any vote that the Bylaws Committee took or any applause that anyone makes here for the KPFA model, which I don't consider to be representative model, is representative of our listeners. This is my feeling and only my feeling, and I'm speaking as a person, as a listener, not as a local advisory board member. Now, I'm going to agree with a number of points that were already made. Mimi made some very important points about the community and about the fact that the communities, the various constituencies within the communities, we have to reach out and get them and include them. And you can't do it through a KPFA model. And incidentally, let me just say at this point, on the internet, if anyone wants to know my difficulties with the KPFA model, read Rafael Renteria's commentaries. And he said one thing, and I'll read it. In a word, white voting power can be concentrated while the voting power of minorities can be deeply fragmented under the model of KPFA. Since there is no bottom line corrective to the problem in the KPFA elections model, there's no guarantee of diversity in it. Now, one final thing I want to say. I'm, of course, opposed to this idea of a poll tax and this workfare, this idea that people have to come into the station or humiliate themselves by asking for waivers. And finally, let me just say this about KPFA. You all know where it is, San Francisco, Berkeley. How many Asians are on that KPFA local advisory board? There's not one. Not one. Right, Patty? How many are on there?
How many
red? How many? I don't care. Did they reach out to that Asian community? An area that's 30% Asian, and there's not an Asian on that community, and that's the KPFA model, where they've had elections. Excuse me, I'm not having a debate now. I'm saying what I'm saying here. KPFA has had elections, and there's not an Asian on that local advisory board. And I tell you the truth, if I was out there, I would resent that.
No, we did have until last year.
But that's not the issue. It's a different...
We had, you want to talk to James Lama, ask him why he didn't come?
Anyway. Marion, you want to go?
I'm waiting for Ray. Is Ray here?
Okay.
Why don't you share the meeting, Miguel?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't have a debate.
Who else? Who else? Nobody else?
You can speak.
Have you finished?
Yeah, I can tell you. You want to go?
No. I just feel so inadequate because I've only been here for 7 weeks. But I have been, well, I'll just say, I'm a member of the board, but I was away for a whole year. And I just got back 7 weeks ago. And when I got back, the models had already been developed. I've read both of them, and I have been leaning towards the constituency model because it seems to be more inclusive than the KPFA model. And for that reason, that's my reason. But beyond that, there's not much more I can say because I feel, actually, I should abstain. But I am leaning towards the constituency model.
I just want to speak on behalf of our absent lab member, John Combe, who has survived the first 100 days after his life-threatening bone marrow transplant. John would like very much to be here, but he's not yet allowed to go out into crowds. He's following this very carefully. He has posted a statement on the web, and he is standing by on the phone for, you know, if we have a vote and we need him, because he, but he is very firmly behind the constituency model, and he wishes he could be here.
Okay. You want to go?
Okay.
Okay, right.
Well, I won't be long. I have other forums, as you say in English.
That was very good for me. I forgot that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, people do know how I feel about these issues. To me, it's very clear that we live in a society, we're not quite like India, but where race, in some cases, rise to the level of class and has to be accounted for. And even when it's not race, we have people who are not part of the system, we have to be integrated into it, and that would make all of us stronger. And I did not support the system immediately the way I do now. I certainly did not support some of its characteristics. But to me, it's clear that I'm not sure what KPFA is as a solution to their problem out there. Although, again, I'm not saying that this is a bad system. I'm just saying that I think something else better can be done. While I was in Washington, in Houston that is, I spoke to some people out there from KPFA. And after a little while, while we're discussing the model, and I was questioning them, they have found out, not surprisingly, that they had nobody from the Asian community on it. They had, and to me that's rather surprising, really. That, for example, that we are on a board here that, for whatever reason, there was somebody and they resigned and you don't have somebody else, or we should really pay attention, maybe. But to have an election and to have an Asian community as large as it is in California, in the Berkeley area particularly, not have one of their representatives on that lab, to me is a serious shortcoming. And it's not to blame anybody, I'm just saying this is the reality. And we should do better. We have to do better than that. They have nobody from physically challenged. They have nobody to represent that community at all. They are no Native American. And the conversation stopped there, and I'm sure if I continued it, and I understand you were saying that some people would be left out. That's true. There are too many groups to be represented all the time, at every single time. But we do realize that there are some mainstay within the oppressed group, the groups that are not involved in the society, the way they have the right to be involved. And as if a model is implemented, yeah, there's time to correct, there's time for improvement, there's time to realize their mistakes and make changes. And I'm sure if I continue talking to them, that well, I would have found out there were other groups that in that category, in that city, in that area, are very important communities that are not represented. So the desire here was to make sure that these groups are represented. I've said it before, I will say it again, that every process, such process, involves compromises. And this one is a compromise. It's when you go to see a judge, your friend, you have conflict between two different rights. Between the right to scream fire because you feel like doing so, and the right of other people not to pay the consequences for that action. So the responsibility for us is to find the best vehicle to provide these avenues for participation and have people's rights recognized and enhanced. And for that reason, I supported the model over others. But tonight I'm also not only, and again, I understand that I've been chastised or even condemning some of the email circuits and so on, and I mean, nothing new. I'm assuming some of it is correct, and based on my own experience, I'm sure a lot of it is not correct. However, I don't know maybe we can do that tonight. I think that should be our role to see. I would not truly be interested just deciding that this is how we want to vote, and just have the process go on without us. If you look at the votes that took place so far, I'm not sure what happened in Texas, but I know that in the KPFA model, if you look at the way the lab both voice phrase the position, first, in the case of the percentage of participation for the staff, they put, I believe, still put 1/3. Even the national board has put 1/4. Now, maybe it's a bargaining tool. Maybe it's a way of saying that we support that model. However, we think this is important. I think we should do something similar, that besides the adoption of this model, the support for this model that we believe, and I think that the majority of the people on the board do support it, I think we should also explore ways in which we can still be part of whatever new system is going to be built. That we don't just say, well, this is my position, and you either take it or leave it. That we explore with other. And KPFK has done something similar. KPFK also has taken some positions, some of them are quite radical, like not having any lab person, any staff person on the board at all, no room for them at all, and going much further than everybody else, obviously, in terms of participation of the listeners, in terms of and the local board is allowing the local board, for example, to actually hire and fire station manager by themselves without any input from the executive director and so on. I believe they are the only ones that have gone that far. So there are differences. So I would also be very interested, I don't know how much time we have, in looking at what kind of participation are we going to have between now when actually bylaws are adopted. Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay.
Anybody
else?
Marion. I certainly concur with many of what my colleagues have said. I would like to take a historical step back. We just witnessed election in this city, in the state for governor. And we haven't moved yet. We had a very fine African-American running for governor of the state, well qualified. The person who was the incumbent, I am not going to mention his name, because I have experience, I know what he's done to the state. I really do know what he's done to the state because I work with children. And I know his role in this state. But you had a good case of identity politics in New York State. When people talk about the constituency model as identity politics, I don't know what you think, what happened here about a month ago. That was identity politics.
That's what I think. He's unqualified to be the governor of the state, but he's the governor because money was poured into this city. And money was not given to that other candidate who needed the money. Of course, I think he made some mistakes, too, in his campaign, and I'm not going to say it. I am for the constituency model because I know the history of this country. Historically, anybody who watched on Channel 13 the Civil War and the part after Reconstruction, what happened in this country was unbelievable. We now have a case before the Supreme Court on affirmative action at the University of Michigan. Mm-hmm. Now, are you kidding? They're going backwards. We're going backwards. Mm-hmm. And we now have a Supreme Court that's packed. I don't know what the Supreme Court is going to, but I know about what at least four or five of them on there will, how they will vote. I know how they will vote. And if you think that Clarence Thomas represents the African American in this city, in this country, you're crazy. He doesn't. He represents a class. That's who he represents. And I know he represents it. And just because you're concerned about who will come out of that constituency, Marla, I sit on this board. I came out of a working class background in Philadelphia. And when that family dug their heels in, at the time I grew up, we dug our heels in. And we didn't budge. I know when they came to the door and the FBI sat out at the door, came up to our porch asking where my sister was because she was a youth organizer in the 40s and 50s. Don't tell me I don't know about this country, and I don't know what that constituency model means. I know what it means. It will reach deep into the community, hopefully, and bring people forward who need to be represented on the local advisory board that needs to get the news, the information that they need to hear. And I agree with, I respect my colleagues on this board who disagree. I respect them. They have a right to differ, but I also have a right to define what the history of this country has been, and it still is. We have to open up, and I dare say what we are seeing happening before our eyes in this country, it will be very serious from here on in. And people have to learn, they have to dig their heels, and you have to bring people forward to represent their interests, to represent their interests. And if you think it is not a class question at Pacifica, of course, Pacifica is a part of America. Come on. It is a class, has always been a class question. It's never been about anything else. And you've got to bring people into this situation so they can talk and think. They might not be as articulate as my colleagues up here, but they will say what they have to say in the language that they understand. KPF model does not represent that. That's what I'm saying. It does not represent. I am not going to go into all the litany about why it doesn't represent. It's been stated here very well and articulated, very well here. The other thing I want to say is that the KPF model was put out there almost, they had a year and a half jump on us. And that's what was been pushed. We came the last minute, maybe in June, to put together, and people working around the clock to put this model together. I'm not saying it's perfect model. I'm sure I know there are problems with it. But it's one chance we have to dig deep into the community and let people know that they can come in and be a part of the Pacifica family and also be on the board and bring their grievances and their needs to the local advisory board, and therefore bring it to the Pacifica board, the national board, eventually. That's what I hope can happen here.
All right. Let me go myself. I think that, and explaining why people vote for any of those models, I mean, I question, the way that was brought to the lab was basically like a package, when the people really don't have any that much choice in terms of, they made something that in any other model that I be maybe agree or disagree, but and the tricky way that was brought to the lab, I think that, you know, was kind of difficult for some of the lab to really exercise some right and show some disagreement with some of those models. But to me, it is a matter of two things. The first one is a matter of power and what hands that each of those stations really are in terms of who is and the general manager, who is the program director, and who is other, who hold the position in different stations. And that's one question to me that really is important. And how people look and use power when they got the power of those stations. I think this is something that we should take a look. And besides, talk about class, struggle, and so on, but I don't care who is in power here, as long as they have some idea of what is the dynamic of the station and how they should play with the power and give some kind of opportunity to other groups to be heard on that particular station, which is when it comes to WBAI and other radio station, I mean, the experience is really terrible for some of us. That's one thing. The other aspect of that, to me, that I really question is in terms of the democracy and in terms of how we combine those two things, and in terms of the democracy coming from some of those models. And I'm not saying that they are perfect, even if I side with KPFA with some questions, of course, but still, I think that when it comes to the democracy, I think that KPFA model has a better opportunity for any constituency to really have an opportunity to participate and have some people in the lab as well as in the national board. And this is something that I question. To me, I mean, I don't want to go into the 500 years of slavery, but because all of us been through that. In my case, I came from a country that, I mean, we went through slavery, you know, but I mean, what should I do now? Should we use that to make people feel guilty and therefore force people to think, to be quiet or to vote for the position that are enforcing here? And to me, that's not the way to go. I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me. And if you're going to vote for me, you vote for what I believe and for what I represent, not because I'm coming from an oppressed community, because in that community is so many right-wing people, and there is still poor like me. So to me, when it comes to really have the representation, and believe me, when it comes to opportunity, I think that is the KPFA model give more opportunity and to have even higher numbers or diversity and the lab on the national board that the other model that was presented, including the constituency model. And I say this because I have a hard time believing when people are saying and use that to really divide people more than we already are. And what I see the dynamic on New York, it being that, I mean, some people cannot even look to each other anymore because of their whatever color they are. So to me, it was a matter of how we're going to work and unite people and coming together around in some kind of agenda with this, that should be developed through WBAI or other similar areas. And I think that's the way we can put people together. To me, it's a matter of instead of divide the different groups and to create really the most democratic way to do election or even do representation, which is the way that it is. And one thing that people hasn't mentioned here, everybody talking about how deep we're going to work, how hard we're going to work in different community, I challenge all of you to do that because we haven't done it yet. And we've been, for a year, we've been talking about that. And I said this before, we failed to do that. And now people trying to say, oh, no, now that we have this constituency model, we're going to bring all those community here and we're going to work hard. But let me tell you one thing, I don't believe it, that you're going to work hard. Okay, and I don't believe that that is the way to go right now. I think that we should see the dynamic that's going on Pacifica and how we're going to do this to come together. Now we can do two things. We can just divide deeper, okay, and trying to go for total victory. That's the way that I see that this lab is trying to go. Like, okay, let's go for total victory, which it won't happen. And the thing is that you guys are losing some support in the national level because you're not going nowhere. I think that the best way and the best to represent the different dynamic that's going on here is to try to see what position we can get through that we can really guarantee, and that's my concern, and I say it before, two things that I really concern, which is that we guarantee the participation of what Pacifica is preaching. Because I heard so many people talking and saying this and that, and they said in the radio, but when it comes really to do things, my God, let me tell you my thing. My experience in WBI, I don't want to go through that. But let me tell you one thing. Some people that have been talking about they have the representation of every community, they shut the door on your own face when you really bring some ideas because they don't want anybody to get involved or have that much to say in reference to what's going on in WBAI. And I think that we should take a deep look what we're really trying to do here. I mean, are we serious that we want other people to participate? What is the best democratic way that we can guarantee that? And believe me, I don't want people to feel sorry for me. I want to fight for what I should deserve. If I deserve to be in some position here, I'm going to fight for it. I don't want the people to give me or feel guilty for the 500 years that we've been suffering, that we never been able to accomplish. And the political correctness of some people trying to preach is not working. I mean, take a look at what's going on in this country. So I think that, to me, it's a matter of how can we bring some issues that can put us together and we can look at the political agenda that we can promote. Because to me, it's not a matter like to vote for Fernando Ferrer who made me feel good when I know he will do the same thing that David Dinkins did, which it was nothing for black or for any other minorities that were responsible to put him as a mayor. But with that I ended my intervention on this. And the reason I vote for KPFA is because I think it's not because it's perfect, but I think from the democratic point of view, have better opportunity to have people from different communities and at the same time guarantee that diversity that we require. And I just want to say this. When it comes to women issue in some community, believe me, that is a hard question for some people to take. And I think that to guarantee that 50% women, 50% men there, and people of color, I think that's the way to go. And I'm saying this is perfect, okay? But I think so far, that's the way to go to me. So, all right, Anthony.
So I think the challenge that this group has is that for the most part, every really solid, salient point has been made 3-4 times, and the issues are there. Some people have chosen to hear certain issues very clearly, and others, you be the judge of why, have chosen to only hear the criticisms. Specifically when it came to the KPFA model, many of us felt that while it was not the worst formulation for governance that could have been conceived, it had its points. It was by no means the approach that was most meaningful, that developed the most solidly inclusive approach, that built on the basis of mutual respect a potentially very new Pacifica. The reason that I worked on developing an alternative model that was inclusive was because in my day-to-day life, I use that to inform my involvement in Pacifica. Pacifica is an institution that's unlike most in this country. It's an institution that has international, even global impact. I saw that when I was in Durban at the World Conference Against Racism, and when at that time we still hadn't gotten the station back. The various communities, mostly communities of color, who had the opportunity to hear then the Pacifica of the very reactionary people who were trying to take over Pacifica, that old board of hijackers, when they were asked about letting WBAI stay in the room, there was a passive acceptance of BAI because of its history. But there was also WBIX on hand. And WBIX had been the voice of the struggle. And people understood that BIX represented what we hoped was going to be a new Pacifica when we got back in. And so when WBIX was identified, and I don't shy away from that term, when they were identified as one of the journalists on the floor who wanted to stay in the room and hear what was going on at the World Conference, they were loudly and raucously applauded and supported. They recognized the political difference at that point in history. In this city, in New York, where many of us have been active for a long time, there was a real important struggle around the national question. That is, people in Pacifica during the time the hijackers were in, were a significant percentage of them were African and other people of color on the board, and they attempted to cloak themselves in that and defend some of their behavior as being a defense against racism by those who critiqued them and criticized and tried to get the station back. Well, there were several obvious contradictions in that, such as the people that they moved on first and in the largest numbers were also people of color, were also African ancestry, Latino, were also women. So that didn't hold up, but it still had the chance to resonate throughout the communities of color. But what happened were those activists from those communities mobilized in many ways that have not been heretofore seen. And in fact, there were a number of demonstrations of several hundred and some in which there were probably upwards of 700 to 800 people, maybe 80-90% people of color who came out and clearly stood firmly with those of us who are here today. There was two things going on. None of them, for the most part, were people who were trying to ignore their Africanness or their blackness or their color. None of them were people who were trying to say that there were not some bases of unity that history and repression and capitalism have forced us into on that basis of color. That we haven't made that decision in most instances, but that those who oppress us, those elites that globally see that Africa is structurally a fourth-class continent, is there. But nonetheless, those people in that room recognize that it was most important that they stand with a broad mix of people, a broad mix of not only working class people and but people of color, to oppose those people who were trying to keep control, the hijackers. The important point is that it is not on the basis of being a victim. It's not on the basis of shame that any of us believe that you and you and you are supposed to recognize that it's a legitimate to have these different constituent communities recommended. It's on the basis of mutual respect. It's not a divisive thing, but something that pulls people together around struggle, around the work. That is the point that we're trying to make. When Ann Emmerman can come forward and state in about 1 minute why she wants to participate in an approach that involves the inclusion of the disabled community, the Native community, etc., it doesn't take a nuclear scientist analysis to figure out what she's talking about. She is saying that on the basis of mutual respect, issues that many of us may want to support but just may not be on top of, may not be sensitized to, will be represented at the table. So when we suggest a listing of different communities, of different constituent groups, those communities represent, admittedly, not the exhaustive list of groups that get kicked in the behind every day by this repressive society, but they represent significant examples in the real world of communities and groups of people that come together on that basis. Your challenge has been to recognize that though we are mostly not people of color who have been the most active in some aspects of this struggle, that if we do the kind of inreach, as we called it, outreach is a familiar term, if we do the kind of work that Miguel and others rightfully point out has not happened at the levels that it needs to, the kind of work that we were able to do during the struggle in several different gatherings that turned the whole question of Utrice Lead as a legitimate leader around, that was done on grassroots solid work in various communities. Utrice Lead was asked to come and debate people around her that issue when she was in full control. She had control because even up to the day that we had the January board meetings here, Leslie Kagan, who was the chairperson, was not allowed in the damn station. So it's no question that they had control of the airwaves, but they could not turn out the support mechanism and the base that was needed. Who in fact stood up in those settings and turned it around? It was people on the sidewalks who couldn't even get into the station who we were still communicating with. It's a basis of mutual respect. You guys can connect the dots. It does not take, you know, all that much understanding to know that to say on the one hand there are too many groups represented and in the next breath say that we left out some. That is a reality. So therefore, the conclusion is that we don't include any. The point that was made several weeks ago when this presentation, when this straw poll was originally taken, and I'm going to stop here because there have been many good points. The question of women was presented as somehow a huge number of women would lose their ability for representation if too many of them voted for a woman candidate, and that was somehow something that we needed to protect them from, making that foolish decision of self-determination on how to vote, because then males would have a disproportionate say in the other choices. There are variations on that same logic that perpetuate the internet every day, suggesting that people can't figure out who to vote for. All I'll say is a few things. To have the right to be, to have a seat as a native indigenous person or as an Asian or as a person from the rank and file labor and the working class and as a woman does not preclude others from those same sectors to participate as members at large, where you can still exercise your magnanimous and very strong support for people of color and for women. It doesn't preclude people who come from the prison population and the cultural workers from having that chance. The whole point of all of this is that if you work together on the basis of mutual respect, where you structurally include seats, then what you have is the ability to have a new Pacifica where people actually work with one another to get things accomplished.
Okay, with that, we're going to end it with that. And,
point of information? I believe part of that vote at the bylaw meeting, was it not that the audience or people present were allowed or supposed to be able to ask the board members questions about their
I believe the word was confrontation.
Don't. Okay. Listen.
It wasn't question. It was confront.
Let me say.
They were very clear. The word was confront.
Okay. What's next on the agenda?
No, the word was confront.
Okay.
No, it wasn't serene. It wasn't serene.